We're looking tonight at the immorality of socialism. Some of you have lived in countries dominated by socialism, and that sometimes is one of the reasons why you're here and not there. There is a love relationship that our liberal elite have with socialism that seems to be based on nothing of historical reality, and our text, we're going to preach up to that text, dealing with it from the book of Proverbs. Did I have that on the first thing? Is that on there? No. Okay. Well, let's move on then. I couldn't remember what I put. I had it here, Proverbs 1, 10 to 15, as the text, but we'll be getting back to that. Really, 2 points. One is determining the meaning of socialism, and then looking at the testimony of Scripture and comparing the two. Let's begin with the dictionary definition of socialism. 3 points here in the dictionary. One, a theory or system of social organization that advocates the vesting of the ownership and control of the means of production and distribution. How do you produce things? Of capital, land, etc., in the community as a whole. Now, what this turns out to be is that it says everybody owns everything, and that seems fair, but somebody has to make the decisions, so they're actually the ones ruling. Number two, procedure or practice in accordance with that theory, a socialist procedure. And then third, in Marxist theory, Karl Marx, the stage following capitalism in the transition of a society to communism. It's a halfway hitch toward communism, characterized by the imperfect implementation of collectivist principles rather than the complete implementation of it in communism. So, with all those technical terms, what is socialism? It is, we see this today, that it is not merely the agenda of left-wing politicians. I think it was safe to say that it used to be. Well, then they got a hold of the schools, and now anybody that's about anything graduated from all the Ivy League schools. They're dedicated socialists. Most of Hollywood is a dedicated socialist. I remember watching the silly movie RoboCop, and in some of the things afterwards, they were talking about what motivated the making of it, and it was socialism. Didn't really come across that way in the movie. It was more like science fiction fun. But the man said, "Capitalism is a disease that needs to be eliminated." That was the dedication of Hollywood with that. According to the Marxist doctrine, socialism is the stage of society between capitalism and communism, where rulers eliminate private ownership and control over property. Therefore, the essence of socialism is reducing and ultimately abolishing private property rights. Is this where God stands? Is this what God has set up for us? A tax on private property include confiscating the rightful property of one person and giving it to another to whom it doesn't belong. That's the essence of what this is all about. When it's done privately, we call it theft. Taking the person's rightful property, giving it to somebody else, like me. I take it and I give it to me. When it's done collectively, we use euphemisms, income transfers, or redistribution. It's the same activity. And we find today that it is not just left-wing politicians who call for and admire socialism, but right-wing politicians as well, so-called right-wing. Right-wing politicians support the taking of earnings of one American and giving them to farmers, banks, airlines, other failing businesses. The left-wing politicians support taking the earnings of one American and giving them to the poor people, to cities and artists. Both agree on taking one American's earnings to give it to another. They simply differ on the recipients. Now, this kind of congressional activity constitutes at least two-thirds of the entire federal government, of federal budget. That's what they're dedicated to doing, and it is socialist. Here's the fact. No matter what the purpose, no matter what the reasoning, no matter what the justification, God calls such behavior immoral. It's a reduced form of slavery. Use a hot word. Consider the essence of slavery. Slavery forces one person to serve the purposes of another. You don't get to choose. I'll tell you what to do, see? When Congress, through the tax code, takes the earnings of one person and turns around, gives it to another person in the form of prescription drugs, Social Security, food stamps, farm subsidies, airline bailouts, it is the forcible using of one person, their labor, their saving, whatever, forcibly using one person to serve the purposes of another. The immorality stands out when we recognize that the spending programs that Congress passes do not represent lawmakers reaching into their own pockets and spending the money, sending out the money. Oh, no, that's not what they're doing. Where does that money come from? There's no Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus to give them the money. Santa Claus doesn't like them that well. Recognizing, as I hope you do, that government has no resources of its own. It's not making anything to sell. It's not providing a service that everybody wants. It's making no money. This forces us to acknowledge that the only way government can give one American dollar to another is to take it from another American. And they have no hesitation in doing that. And some might argue that all of this is the result of a democratic process and therefore legal. Well, while that is true, legality is not our guide for morality. Many things in the world today are legal but immoral. Some countries legalize slavery. It's still immoral. South Africa's apartheid, Nazis' persecution of the Jews, Stalinist and Maoist purges, millions were killed. We're all legal, but that does not make them moral. The socialist can make no moral case for taking one American's rightful property, giving it to another to whom it does not belong. They simply say that according to their exalted position, their greater understanding than us peons are the ones who are doing the work, that they have a better use of our money than we would. When we oppose such legalized theft, I forgot my line here. Socialism at its very heart is evil. It uses evil means, coercion. If you've ever been against the tax collection people, you know it's coercion, to achieve what they call good ends, helping people. Obviously, a majority consensus cannot turn what God judges as evil into a moral act. Let's vote on it. Talking more and more about legalizing marijuana for recreational purposes. The idea is that they're very trying to not let it come to a vote, you know, because all the people that don't like most of what is being tried to do will come out for the vote. Anyway, when we oppose legalized theft, we are not arguing against helping our fellow man. That's what they say. But that's not true. Let me make this distinction. Charity is noble. Theft is wrong. Reaching into your own pocket to assist your neighbor is noble and worthy of praise. But you reaching into another person's pocket to assist that same neighbor is despicable and worthy of condemnation. That's the difference, you see. They say we're just greedy. I'm greedy enough, I don't want your hand in my pocket. That's the greed that I admit to. The Christian, I believe, must see socialism and the welfare state as sinful. God did not allow his commandment, thou shalt not steal, to be up to a majority vote. Let me pick on you. Consider that receiving stolen property is also a sin. Well, that is socialism, the essence of socialism. Let's turn and look to something far more positive, and that is the testimony of Scripture. God's Word defends the rights of property, just as he does the right to life. Thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not kill are in the same code of law. Now let's consider some passages, and I'm going to read a long passage to you here, but we'll put it up on the screen. You can follow along. Matthew 20, 1-15. Now, Christ was giving a spiritual application to this. But I want you to notice that he is describing an economic situation here that is clearly not socialistic. He's telling a story. So, not deep doctrine here, just telling a story. He says this, Matthew 20, 1-15. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder. This is a landowner. This is a farmer who needed help, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny. Now that sounds like pretty low wages, but the word for penny here is the word that means a normal day's wage. All right? He sent them into his vineyard. So now we understand when he did this. He went out about the third hour, and I put in there 9 p.m. So the day began at 6 p.m., or 6 a.m., I'm sorry, 6 a.m., and that was when sunrise, and that was when the day began. Third hour, 9 a.m., saw others standing idle in the marketplace, said, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. Here he just promises them what's right. Wouldn't be a full day's labor, so I'll give you what's right. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth, about noon, and the ninth, 3 o'clock, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, here's 5 p.m., they've got about an hour of daylight left. He went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. We're going home with no money for our family. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last to arrive, unto the first. And so these people who have labored an hour, they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a full penny, a full day's wage. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. You see them, they're jostling each other. Hey, those guys just got here. They got the full penny. We're going to get, what, 12 times that, see? They supposed they should be given more. And they likewise received every man a penny. So we have an economic difference here, see? And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, have continued 1 hour only. And thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Now that's the accusation. Unfair. Unfair. I want you to notice how he thinks this through. What God represents here as the way they should think. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Did you sell your hours of labor to me for what I promised? Take that is thine and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? See whose it was? Private ownership. Is thine eye evil because I am good? And notice this, that the householder agrees with the laborers. This is the contract, the agreement. They had the right to sell their labor at an agreed price. So they took the normal day's wage. They said, yes, we'll work for that. While he has the right to decide what he could profitably pay them. He says, I could pay you the penny. They said, okay, I give you the labor, you give me the wages. And he would agree, signing that contract, as it were, to pay them. And he recognized that what they had earned was theirs. Take up that which is thine and go thy way, verse 14. But as concerning that which was his, which they had not earned, he said, Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? He paid them what they had earned, sent them off his property. Now, Jesus Christ gave this lesson. And he says the attitude that doesn't see this is the evil eye, verse 15, that would covet what is not earned. The evil eye in the scripture is covetousness, not being content. Jesus told this. It's in the Bible. See? No wonder the Marxists, the Leninists, communists hate the Bible. This is absolutely contrary to their philosophy. It convicts them of covetousness and thievery under the guise of helping everybody. The only way for communism to exist is to destroy the hold of the Bible on men. Now, they've gone about doing this quite a bit. The Bible is ridiculed, the Bible is mocked. But communism, socialism on the way to communism is the devil's opium for people willing to let go of the Word of God. All right, is it possible that some capitalists might oppress us? Well, yes, of course. Is it possible for any sinner to do anything? Of course. But the scripture deals with that. Does God advocate a socialist revolution to handle those problems? Let me take you to James 5, 1 to 6. I want you to read this with me with these thoughts in mind. Go to now, ye rich men, he says to them, weep and howl. Why? For your miseries that shall come upon you. Why are miseries going to come upon me? Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, has a cancer in it. The rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. What have you done? You have heaped treasure together for the last days. See? Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which of you is kept back by fraud. When you have agreed with the laborer, that money is his. You kept it back by fraud. That's stealing from the laborers. And that laborers' cries to God, the cries of them which are have reaped, are entered in the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Sabaoth is not Sabbath. Sabaoth is the Hebrew word for hosts, the Lord of hosts. This is the God of the army of heaven. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. I'll stop there just to say, he condemns them for these wrong attitudes, practices. Then he counsels the Christian how to deal with it. Verses 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. The farmer has to wait to the harvest, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. When the judge comes, he settles it perfectly fairly, with perfect righteousness. It is not up to you to try to change this. Pray and wait. We look around us, we know things will get worse and worse until violence fills the earth, as in the days of Noah, according to the scripture. God will deliver you if you trust him. But do not put forth your hand with violent men. Let God's people avoid such things as sin itself, as you would want to avoid sin. If instead of godliness with contentment, you have earthliness with covetousness, if that seizes your heart, you put yourself on the path of Lenin and Stalin. That path to communism killed an estimated, nobody had the ability to count at all, but an estimated 85 to 100 million people. Remember that the next time you hear the attack that religion has killed thousands and thousands of people. Nothing to be compared with the anti-religious have done. So do not be enticed by socialist promises. I won't have to work hard. You know, they're going to give me what I need. Listen to the wise man speaking in Proverbs 1, 10 to 15. Finally, we've got to my text. My son, in Hebrews we find that when this phrase is used, this isn't just Solomon talking to his son. This is God talking to you, his child. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. What if they make a good argument? Consent thou not. What if it sounds good for me? Consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit, we shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil, we'll be rich, cast in thy lot among us, and what? Let us all have one purse. Communal ownership. We'll be the bosses. My son, walk not thou in the way of them. Refrain thy foot from their path. The socialist revolutions of modern time is really the lawlessness that God calls sin. The Bible tells us, gives us the definition that sin is lawlessness. It is the rejection of God's law. It is self-focus over godly love. All of obedience to God is based on the two great commandments, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So the opposite of God's love is concern for self. Love uses your self resources to help others. These other things, selfishness, uses others to benefit yourself. So this is sin. This is lawlessness. God calls even the man of sin, the Antichrist, the lawless one, in 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8, for the mystery of iniquity, the mystery literally of lawlessness, this is anomios, just without law, doth already work. Only he who now letteth, that is, restrains, will continue to restrain until he be taken out of the way. I believe that to be the Holy Spirit restraining sin by the power of God. And until he's taken out of the way, I think would be the rapture. And then shall that wicked, and that is literally, then will the lawless one be revealed. That's Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. It's Christ who will defeat the Antichrist, throwing him bodily into the lake of fire. We are told that the mystery of lawlessness is already working. We see it all around us. That there is one, the Holy Spirit, that letteth or restraineth now until he be taken out of the way. This is why the world falls into such chaos during the tribulation period. The Holy Spirit and his work with the church is taken out. He of course, is still around. He's still God and omnipresent, but he's not doing the work that he's doing now. The lure, the promise of socialism so reaches the heart of selfishness that men are convinced that whenever men have more than I do, it's just wrong. What we've seen from the testimony of Scripture is God does not consider that to be wrong. In fact, during the millennium, when Christ himself is ruling, part of the deal is every man will have his own piece of property, his own tree, and so on. It's private ownership. Again, this isn't contrary to charity. When the early church sold their property, gave it to the church to help feed those who couldn't feed themselves, this was not the law of the land. This was personal charity. We lost personal charity when people said, well, you know, nobody wants to be the recipient of charity. Let's just institutionalize it. And with that thought, we ended up with what we have now. You and I need to take a stand against what God takes a stand against. So let us not be fooled by soothing words. It'll be better for you. That's not our choice. Immorality. Let's bow for prayer. Father, you give us an opportunity tonight to determine whether we're going to do it your way or the way of the world. The way of the world that has hated you, that has hated the Word of God, that has decided that they know better, has chosen the way of socialism. And today, throughout Washington, throughout Hollywood, throughout the elite colleges and universities around the world, through the United States, all through Western Europe, we know that this is the standard. This is the way things are going, that capitalism is considered an evil, greedy thing. Private ownership is condemned as immoral. You have said it is right, and taking from others is wrong. We find ourselves, Father, at this time in the world that you prophesied would come, where they have lost discernment, don't perceive the truth, and they call that which is right evil, and that which is evil right. We ask that you might spare us from this. With whatever philosophy we may have been approached, with whatever we were taught, it flies directly against, socialism flies directly against what your word says. We pray thy blessing tonight as we seek to submit to your truth. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.